This morning, America's First News starts right after this. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Impeachment schedule set. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koshenka on this Wednesday, January 15. Glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
The House today is expected to forward articles of impeachment against President Trump to the Senate, which plans to begin a trial next Tuesday.
President Trump is expected to sign a Phase 1 trade deal with China today, a document designed to ease tariff tensions.
Democrats held their final televised debate before the Iowa caucuses. You'll hear from the top candidates.
And farewell to fast cars and trophy wives. Being virtuous is now popular in a midlife crisis.
Part of it is they tended to marry later and have children later. So, you know, they don't really have the time, sort of a full-on midlife crisis. Yeah. You know, they probably have, you know, tweens or teens in the house still. And so they're more actually concerned about, you know, staying alive to see their kids graduate high school and college.
Reporter Andrea Peterson at the Wall Street Journal on the new approach to a midlife crisis. Foreign policy had a larger presence than usual in the seventh presidential primary debate, given the recent events involving the U.S. and Iran. Six candidates were on stage last night in Des Moines, Iowa, just under 3 weeks before that state holds its first in the nation caucuses. Former Vice President Joe Biden.
We should not send anyone anywhere unless the overwhelming vital interests of the United States are at stake. They were not at stake there. They were not at stake in Iraq. And it was a mistaken vote. But I think my record overall on everything we've done has been I'm prepared to compare it to anybody's on this stage.
Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders addressed health care and wages.
My democratic socialism says health care is a human right. We're going to raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour.
Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren.
Look at the men on this stage. Collectively, they have lost 10 elections. The only people on this stage who have won every single election that they've been in are the women.
Former South Bend, Indiana Mayor Pete Buttigieg.
The black voters who know me best are supporting me. It's why I have the most support in South Bend.
The debate aired on CNN and was hosted by Drake University. With 19 days until Iowa's leadoff presidential caucuses, four Democrats are locked in a tight race for the top spot in a contest that is notoriously difficult to predict and known for late surges. The jump ball situation has yielded a fluid competition in which candidates are trying to win over undecided voters, as well as those backing lower-tier Democrats with little shot at winning. Ken Thomas, reporter at the Wall Street Journal, says Iowa Democrats are starting to believe the outcome of the caucuses may not be decisive enough to anoint a front runner for the presidential nomination if someone doesn't break out of the pack soon. Ken, explain.
Well, you have so many candidates who are competing for the lead right now. You could have a really bunched up conclusion where, you know, the winner doesn't win decisively and the difference between, say, first and third or fourth place is only a few percentage points. So, you know, there's an adage that there's usually only three tickets out of Iowa, but there's probably a perception that this is the type of race that could allow, you know, four, maybe even five candidates to keep going.
And as you point out in the story, I'm sort of paraphrasing here, but finishing in second place or third place can be relevant here because of the 15% threshold, right? And maybe playing nicely with others matters also.
Yeah, and that gets into the unique role that Iowa plays. It's not a primary. It's not simply bringing people to the polls all day long and getting them to vote. They have to show up for a meeting in their neighborhood at 7 o'clock on, you know, a night, and they get into their groups at the start of the meeting, and if you don't have 15% threshold or 15% of that room, then you have to do what's called a realignment, where you decide, well, you know, if my candidate isn't, as they say, viable, maybe I'll go to another candidate. Yeah. And so there's a benefit for candidates that sort of play Iowa nice in these races and can be viewed as an acceptable alternative, a second choice.
Yeah. We're speaking with Ken Thomas, national political reporter at the Wall Street Journal. His piece is called "Iowa Race is Fluid as Democrats Gather for Debate." You said, too, this might be the most wide open Iowa caucus since 2004. Revisit that one. What happened there?
Well, as you might remember, Howard Dean was leading in Iowa throughout the fall and, you know, late into the process. He got into a quarrel with Dick Gephardt, the former Missouri congressman, late in the race. And what you had in the final couple weeks was John Kerry and John Edwards get on a rocket ship and emerge as the top two in Iowa. And so that was a very fluid race. This one is equally unpredictable. I mean, you have Bernie Sanders in the most recent Iowa poll leading. You know, he was perceived to be damaged by his heart attack during the fall, but he's had a very strong few weeks in Iowa. And then you have someone like Joe Biden, who has been very durable as the national front runner. There's been a view that maybe he isn't as strong in Iowa, but he's hanging in there. And then Elizabeth Warren and Pete Buttigieg have both had a lot of ups and downs lately. Buttigieg was leading in polls a couple months ago in Iowa. He has seemed to dropped off a little bit. Warren was strong and then has had some struggles explaining her Medicare for All policy. And then you throw in this notion of impeachment.
Thanks, Ken. Ken Thomas, reporter at The Wall Street Journal. We're close to an impeachment trial timeline. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell now says he expects to start next Tuesday. Meanwhile, the House is scheduled to vote today to send the articles of impeachment against President Trump to the Senate after naming the Democrats who will argue the case for his removal. Republican senators briefed on draft rules for the trial said they would likely guarantee at least a vote on witnesses and documents after opening arguments and a period for written questions. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell:
"We'll be dealing with the witness issue at the appropriate time into the trial. And I think it's certainly appropriate to point out that both sides would want to call witnesses that they wanted to hear from."
Separately, House Democrats yesterday released new documentation that includes messages from Lev Parnas, an indicted associate of Mr. Trump's personal lawyer, Rudy Giuliani. 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. It's a new year, the perfect opportunity to take your business to the next level by hiring the right people. But finding qualified candidates can be challenging. ZipRecruiter.com/Gordon makes it easy. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards. But they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. As applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one and spotlights the top candidates so you never miss a great match. ZipRecruiter.com/Gordon. ZipRecruiter is so effective, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Gordon. That's ZipRecruiter.com/GORDON. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Again, ZipRecruiter.com/Gordon. Thanks for spending time with us. A Delta Airlines flight with an engine problem had to return to Los Angeles International shortly after takeoff and had to dump fuel. Unfortunately, the fuel rained from the sky onto students and adults at a half dozen schools in the LA area yesterday. They were unharmed, although treated for exposure when some complained of minor skin irritations. Los Angeles County Fire Department Battalion Chief Jason Robertson:
"We want to have you call 911 for any shortness of breath, rashes, or hives."
Delta Flight 89, en route to Shanghai, had issues shortly after departing LAX. Delta says the pilot declared an emergency and coordinated with air traffic control to return to the airport while dropping fuel to avoid a potentially dangerous overweight landing. The L.A. County Fire Department first responded to reports at Park Avenue Elementary of exposure to an unconfirmed substance that had fallen from the sky near a low-flying plane. Several classes were outside at the time, and children complained that their skin was burning. 20 minutes now after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koschenka is here with three big things you need to know.
Number one, Gordon, six Democratic presidential candidates have wrapped up their final debate before primary voting begins with talk of hope, defeating President Trump, and bringing a divided nation back together. Joe Biden says character is on the ballot in 2020, and he's positioned to win.
In terms of endorsements around the country, endorsements wherever we go, I am the one who has the broadest coalition of anyone running up here in this race.
Elizabeth Warren says she has hope in America's future despite its challenges. Amy Klobuchar says she'll be a president who finds common ground instead of scorched earth. While Pete Buttigieg says Democrats have a shot to send Trumpism into the dustbin of history. Number two, House Democrats released a trove of documents from an indicted businessman who helped Rudy Giuliani in his campaign to pressure Ukraine, including previously undisclosed handwritten notes and a letter Giuliani addressed to the Ukrainian president-elect requesting a meeting shortly before his inauguration. Lev Parnas, a Ukrainian-born U.S. citizen, was indicted on campaign finance charges along with another associate in October. He soon offered to cooperate with congressional investigators and recently received permission from a judge to hand over his records to the House Intelligence Committee. The new documents come to light as the Senate prepares to open President Trump's impeachment trial and could bolster Democrats' arguments to admit new evidence and hear from additional witnesses. Number three, forecasters expect heavy rain in parts of Australia's fire-ravaged southeast in the coming days, offering relief to firefighters, but raising worries that harmful ash could be washed into rivers and contaminate the country's water supply. At a dam that provides most of the drinking water for Sydney, authorities placed booms to stop ash and other debris from getting into the city's water system. Australia is facing a human, environmental, and economic crisis following its worst ever wildfire season with more than 27,000 square miles of land burned. And as expected, the Boston Red Sox have fired manager Alex Cora amid Major League Baseball's investigation into sign stealing. The Red Sox are under investigation for stealing signs in Cora's first season as manager in 2018 when Boston won the World Series. Cora was also the bench coach for the 2017 Astros, and that was found to have stolen signs on its way to a World Series title.
This has become a real problem.
And it could grow for your Mets manager,
it
perhaps.
It very well could. Carlos Beltran being watched very closely now, new Mets manager. Thanks, Jen. 22 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Welcome into Wednesday. Generation Xers, who now range in age from about 40 to 55, are redefining the rules of the midlife reinvention. Forget the trappings of the stereotypical midlife crisis, right? The sports car, the new trophy spouse, and general bad behavior. Wall Street Journal reporter Andrea Peterson says now it's more likely to be yoga, meditation retreats, and keto diets. Andrea, what's up here?
Basically, Generation Xers, who are now 40 to 55, are really redefining the rules of the midlife crisis, the midlife sort of reinvention that happens for a lot of people. You know, they're not doing sort of the stereotypical midlife crisis, you know, the buying the sports car, trading in the spouse for a new model. They're instead, you know, really going to meditation retreats, you know, getting really into yoga, getting really into fitness. They don't want to sort of blow up their lives. They want to upgrade them. And there's a lot of different reasons for this. Part of it is they tended to marry later and have children later. So, you know, they don't really have the time to have a full-on midlife crisis. Yeah. You know, they probably have, you know, tweens or teens in the house still. And so they're more actually concerned about, you know, staying alive to see their kids graduate high school and college. You know, they also, there's more sort of awareness now about how lifestyle factors like diet and exercise can really affect, you know, can affect your propensity for diseases like cancer and heart disease and even dementia. So, you know, a lot of them are being motivated by that. They're also seeing how their parents have aged and they may be, you know, not liking what they see and sort of, you know, realizing that, okay, now is really the time to make some changes so that they can age better.
You know, I was chuckling at your comment about blowing up your life, but on a serious note, you did reference this aging expert from University of Wisconsin who talked about the deaths of despair. That's sort of bringing like a reality check to a lot of folks.
What's happening is, I mean, another backdrop of this, you know, part of the reason why Gen Xers maybe not having sort of a stereotypical midlife crisis is they can't afford to. Mm. You know, they're really the first generation that is not going to do, you know, in general, not going to do better than their parents financially. You know, a lot of them are saddled with a ton of debt. You know, the older Gen Xers came of age, you know, started their working lives during the recession in the early 90s. You know, the 2008 economic downturn really hit Gen X hard. You know, this is when a lot of them were, you know, trying to buy homes, trying to, you know, starting families. So they actually, you know, the majority of Gen Xers have less wealth than their parents did at the same age and a lot more debt. You know, part of it, they can't afford to buy the sports car. So, you know, and obviously, you know, going to a yoga retreat is a lot cheaper than buying the big house or the big car. Right. One aging expert told me that, you know, it really depends on, you know, your people's experience of midlife is so dependent upon their education level and sort of their economic status, and that there's a big chunk of Gen Xers who are not going to have an easy time of it at midlife because of these sort of social, you know, structural forces, and that she pointed to this increase in the deaths of what's called the deaths of despair, this increasing number of, you know, rates of death among people in midlife that are related to suicide and alcohol abuse and drug overdoses.
Thanks, Andrea. Wall Street Journal reporter Andrea Peterson. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Michigan is one of the best places in the country to do business. But you don't have to take our word for it. Take Patty Poppes, president and CEO of Consumers Energy, instead.
All of the innovation that's occurring around robotics, AI, it's happening here in Michigan. We have chemical companies, we have pharmaceutical companies, we have medical device manufacturers. Michigan is a magnet for innovators and dreamers.
Big things are happening in business here. Find out why by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity.
New year, new budgets. Every small business has unique needs. When you partner with a Dell Small Business Technology Advisor, you get real-time, tailored advice. They'll even give you a free audit on your servers and storage devices to develop a custom solution to help improve your company's productivity. Plus, right now, upgrade to Windows 10 and get up to 45% off select business computers with Intel Core processors. To speak with a Dell Advisor, call 877-BUY-DELL. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show, like us on Facebook, or send us an email, thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Wednesday, January 15. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koschenka, some of our top stories and headlines. Impeachment trial expected to begin next Tuesday. Democrat presidential candidates debate for the seventh time. President Trump today set to sign a phase one trade deal with China. 700,000 Toyota and Lexus vehicles being recalled for a fuel pump issue. Red Sox fired manager Alex Cora over the sign-stealing scandal. Panthers all-pro linebacker Luke Kuechly announced his surprise retirement from football last evening. He's only 28. And the case of mysterious cash bundles left on a roadside. That story in about 20 minutes. This portion of the program is brought to you by Grainger. Delivering the products that keep your facility running is what Grainger does best. They've been doing it for 90 years. Visit Grainger.com for whatever you need, whenever you need it. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. As six Democrats battled each other on the presidential debate stage last night, they were also battling President Trump for publicity. Mr. Trump held a Keep America Great rally in Milwaukee, about 375 miles away from his rivals in Des Moines, Iowa.
Our last election was so important. I don't know, maybe the most important ever, but it was so important. I really believe that this election, maybe in its own way, will be just as important.
Rob Crilly, meanwhile, White House correspondent at the Washington Examiner, says it was a deliberate piece of scheduling by the Trump 2020 campaign. Rob, what's up here?
As we know, is a master of publicity and of dominating airtime. So the campaign is weaponizing his rally appearances in a number of ways. And the one that we're seeing at the moment is that just as the Democratic primary race reaches its crucial stages, we've got a ramping up of the Trump campaign, and we have rallies now that are directly timed by design to conflict on the TV schedules with the Democratic debates. So we have a situation, and I've spoken to a number of Trump campaign insiders who say this is very much the aim, and they're delighted with how well it's working. But the aim is very much to dominate the headlines and prevent people talking about the Democratic candidates.
All right, so battleground states will be the focus, I would imagine, in the coming months?
Yeah, so we've seen Trump in Ohio, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin. Yeah, it's very clear which of the states that President Trump needs to win. One prediction that was made to me a while ago by a veteran of the 2016 campaign is that we could even see President Trump running some rallies in the early primary states. You know, could we see Trump up in New Hampshire and Iowa as voters there think about picking their Democratic candidate? So it's a real no-hold-bars approach to really getting up in the grills of the Democratic candidates.
All right, so is it a two-pronged approach or strategy here in that the Trump campaign is trying to prevent a breakout Democrat frontrunner while also just generating publicity, or is that what this is?
I mean, look, number one, these rallies are good for Trump, and they've weaponized these in a way that allows them to collect data of people going to the rallies with the idea of turning supporters, first of all, into voters and then into volunteers. So the rallies serve their own purpose. But what we have at the moment with these rallies, and then you combine it with all the headlines and all the attention that's being given to impeachment and to the Iran crisis last week, you just simply don't have the column inches or the airspace that to be discussing at length the pros and cons of the different Democratic candidates. So campaign insiders really believe that this strategy has resulted in the fact that we have so many candidates still in this race for the Democratic nomination. We have no clear front runner. You have the Bidens, the Warrens, the Sanders, the Buttigiegs, all on very similar polling numbers. So it's been very difficult that the Trump supporters think for any one of these candidates to capture the public imagination, while President Trump is still dominating the headlines.
We're speaking with Rob Crilly, White House correspondent at the Washington Examiner. His piece is called Trump Rallies, Designed to Divert Attention from Democrats and Prevent Frontrunner Breakout. You know, I thought, well, geez, wouldn't it make sense for presidents to hold rallies in battleground states and also in early primary states? But then I thought, you know, not every past president could pull that off, though. He's got that ability to draw.
Well, that's it. I mean, have you seen presidential rallies like this before that are a mix of sort of stand-up routines? We get sometimes song and dance routines, almost parodies of other politicians, and it becomes an event that all the family want to go to. I'm always struck by the age range and the type of people that come to these events. I mean, it's very difficult, very different to the sorts of people who will be sitting down to watch the Democratic debate. Not dividing on party lines, I mean, that's obvious, but in terms of backgrounds and ages and overall level of interest in politics. And I think the other thing to say is incumbents at this stage in the cycle have often felt their best bet is to make a show of getting on with the job, showing they're very much focused on the job in hand and trying to deliver policy results. This presidency is rather different. Yeah, I mean, critics would say it's struggled to deliver results. But what isn't in doubt is the campaign has really turned up its campaigning at a much earlier stage of the cycle than we've seen from previous presidents.
Thanks, Rob. That is Rob Crilly, White House correspondent at the Washington Examiner. 19 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Now that Human Resources Director Fernando Pino has Kronos for HR, payroll, talent, and time, he's completely crushing it. He even has his own hype song.
Supporting our entire workforce, everyone has different hours, skill sets, and pay grades. I'm on the top, I'm gonna rise up. I'm on the top, top, I'm gonna rise up. motivating and engaging our people every step of the way.
Kronos, HR solutions for the modern workforce and the people who support them. Learn more at kronos.com/HR swagger. I'm on the top, I'm gonna rise up. I'm on the top,
top, I'm gonna rise up. I'm on the top. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Wednesday. It is time now for the mic drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, here's a follow-up to a story we told you about earlier in the week. Kansas City Chiefs fans are showing their appreciation for the unexpected hero of the team's comeback playoff win over Houston on Sunday. Charles Penn, a 31-year-old Chiefs fan, went viral after he tweeted video of him leaving Arrowhead Stadium with his team down 21-0 in the first quarter. Penn was convinced that he was the problem, having only seen Chiefs losses in person, and he thought he needed to leave in order to get the comeback going. You know what happened next. The Chiefs went on a 51-7 scoring run and won the game handily. In the days since Penn's ultimate sacrifice of a $258 ticket, Chiefs fans have gone all out to show their appreciation to him, with donations to his Cash App and Venmo accounts having far exceeded the price he paid for the ticket on StubHub. Wow. He's also made appearances on SportsCenter and various local TV and radio programs in Kansas City. Quarterback Patrick Mahomes even gave Penn a shout-out on Twitter. And when it comes to Sunday's AFC Championship, Penn plans to watch it from home. Head & Shoulders, one of Mahomes' sponsors, even contacted Penn with an offer to give him the ultimate Chiefs watch party.
Nice.
Which is really the only move. He can't go back to the stadium, right?
Correct.
And this is what we were hoping, is that somebody would step up and kind of make it really cool for him to stay home and watch the game.
Okay. So I want to follow along these developments.
Yes.
Let's say the Chiefs win Sunday.
All right.
Now, their next game will be at the Super Bowl.
Right.
Which would not be at Arrowhead Stadium.
That is true. I don't know.
Let's say some generous group says, hey, for your sacrifice you made in helping the Chiefs arrive at this point, we have two tickets to the Super Bowl for you.
I think he's got to stay away.
What does he do?
He has to stay away.
What?
Yeah, he just can't. He can't go. As long as they
keep
winning.
His team is going to the Super Bowl.
Well, as long as they keep winning.
Mike.
He's got to stay firmly planted on that couch.
Mike! The Super Bowl.
I think all of Kansas City would agree with me as well. I think he'd probably even agree with me.
I think if I were Charles Penn, I'd say, no, this is specific to Arrowhead Stadium.
Yeah.
There's unproven ground at the Super Bowl.
You're going to take that
chance?
For
guys like Charles Penn.
It's been too long for Kansas City to go to the Super Bowl. They're not going to take that chance.
It would be a nice problem to have, let's be honest.
Yes, yes. And he may want to step back from life as a royal, but that doesn't mean that he can't be a king. After Prince Harry's announcement that he and wife Meghan Markle would be focusing on less regal pursuits, Burger King branches in the U.S. and Argentina stepped in and offered the prince positions at their restaurants on Twitter. They did, however, stop just short of outright offering Harry the title of Burger King, which you would assume is probably the only way he'd consider taking the gig. Twitter users were quick to point out that Harry wouldn't be the first royal to take a job at a fast food restaurant, with Prince Akeem from the movie Coming to America blazing the trail.
Got it.
We'll see what happens.
If the prince were to take this gig, I can give some tips. I used to flip burgers at the Roy Rogers in my hometown of East Brunswick, New Jersey.
Yes.
There you go.
There you go.
13 minutes now in front of the hour. Thanks, Mike. SimpliSafe Home Security is like getting commercial-grade security, but for your own home. This is exactly the kind of security you get with SimpliSafe. If there's a break-in, SimpliSafe uses real video evidence to give police an eyewitness account of the crime. And that means police dispatch up to 350% faster than for a normal burglar alarm. Outdoor cameras and doorbells alert you to anyone approaching your home. Entry, motion, and glass break sensors guard the inside. Plus, SimpliSafe protects your home from fires, water damage, and carbon monoxide poisoning. It's all monitored 24/7 by live security professionals. You can set up your system yourself with no tools needed, or SimpliSafe's experts can do it for you. And it's only 50 cents a day with no contracts. Go to simplisafe.com/Gordon today to get free shipping on your order, plus a 60-day money-back guarantee. That's simplisafe.com/Gordon to save on home security today. simplisafe.com/Gordon. Thanks for spending time with us. Our credit scores continue to improve, but credit scores don't tell the whole story of how consumers are faring financially. A new report from Experian found that the average FICO score in the U.S. reached an all-time high last year of 703. Altogether, 59% of Americans have a FICO score of 700 or higher. That's the largest percentage ever. at that threshold. Having a credit score at or above 700 is generally an indicator of good credit for most lenders, who can then snag a wider variety of credit product offers at better interest rates. A score of 800 or higher is usually considered excellent. Now for the bad news. MarketWatch says rising credit scores doesn't necessarily mean Americans are better off financially. In fact, debt balances have risen on average over the last year for most types of loans. A separate study from Bankrate found two-thirds of us with credit card debt owe at least as much now as they have over the past decade. 8 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with three big things you need to know.
Number one, Gordon, in last night's debate, Democratic presidential candidates drew policy contrasts with each other on national security, health care, and trade, but repeatedly shifted the focus back to their common opponent, President Trump. Senator Bernie Sanders.
The campaign that we are going to run will expose the fraudulency of who Donald Trump is. Donald Trump is corrupt. He is a pathological liar. And he is a fraud.
The debate comes 3 weeks before the Iowa caucuses, and just as some candidates are preparing to leave the campaign trail to serve as jurors in Trump's Senate impeachment trial. Number two, after 18 months of economic combat, the U.S. and China are expected to take a step toward peace today, at least for now. President Trump and China's chief negotiator are scheduled to sign a modest trade agreement in which the administration will ease some sanctions on China, and Beijing will step up purchases of U.S. goods. But Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin says the U.S. will maintain tariffs on Chinese goods until the completion of a second phase of an agreement. And analysts say the pact does little to force China to make the major reforms the administration has sought. Number three, federal authorities will investigate why an airliner with engine trouble dumped jet fuel over a densely populated area of Southern California while making an emergency return, dousing dozens of school children in a smelly vapor. The Delta flight to Shanghai turned back to Los Angeles International Airport only minutes after taking off. Cudahy Mayor Elizabeth Alcantar says it could have been worse.
20 children and 11 adults reported minor injuries of skin irritations and have been cleared, but none were transported to the hospital.
The pilot reported a stalled engine compressor, which can reduce thrust.
Ken Jennings, you are the champion.
It's official. Ken Jennings is the greatest Jeopardy contestant of all time. Jennings won the third match in the greatest of all time tournament, beating out James Holzhauer and Brad Rutter for the title in an episode that aired last night. The final match came down to Holzhauer and Jennings in a final Jeopardy question. Holzhauer seemed to take the loss in stride, tweeting a Scooby-Doo joke at Jennings after the episode aired.
I think Holzhauer might have been more entertaining, only because he seemed to bet everything at times. That was...
You were, you know, a big fan?
What's the limit? I'll risk it all. He didn't care because he just kind of felt confident he'd win it back at some point during the show.
Well, close.
Thank you, Jen. 6 minutes in front of the hour. Police in the UK have revealed the mysterious source of bundles of cash that frequently seem to fall from the sky onto the streets of an English village. Two good Samaritans who had placed the wads of money around the town in an effort to give something back to the community. There are often upwards of $2,600. The village of Blackhall Colliery in County Durham became a global spectacle when large sums began appearing at random near the main street in 2014. Tens of thousands of dollars have been discovered over the past 6 years, but rather than pocket the cash, many of the people turned it in. Police said the bundles are always left in plain sight. But after the two donors came forward, Durham police on Monday assured that their identity would remain secret. Not even the lead detective of the investigation knows the identity of the pair. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.